Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Ask Dr. Ava on Elevated Places.
Assalamu alaikum.
Oh, there you go. Boy, you ran
My
out
apologies.
Of one meeting and jumped right on.
Yes, sir.
Well, carry on.
Well, thank you, sir. And welcome, everyone, to Elevated Places Network. And Elevated Places Network, this is our first program ever to launch about 10 years ago, and that is Elevated Places, Ask Minister Ava with myself, Sister Ava Muhammad, and it is a pleasure to be with you on this Thursday evening. It is a blessing for all of us to be alive during this profound transition in time, though it is a major trial, it is a major reward to be able to witness the and be part of the fullness of time. We have an amazing program tonight. Our beloved brother, Dr. Wesley Muhammad, will be joining us to discuss the mother plane. The wheel is real. And so I know you are all excited. I see the callers are queuing up. People are logged in. It's going to be a hot time on the Old Town tonight. And so, of course, we have with us our executive producer, Sister Rona Muhammad, our dear sister who's been assisting Sister Rona with handling the screening, the calls, Sister Deanna Muhammad. We have our attorney and legal contributor, host of her own program, A Time for Justice, Sister Pamela Muhammad. And last but not least, as far as the team is concerned, our Elevated Places team is my illustrious co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad. And we are all here raring to go tonight. Look forward to an exciting evening. And so with that, Brother Terrence, I'm going to toss the mic to you to take us further into the program. And assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. And here we go again. Here we go again. We're back, and it's always a joy. And, yes, you know, we need this Elevated Places because it is so, and there's so much going on, and I just want people to really understand that you need to go back, listen, record, take notes on the words and guidance from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan on the Criterion, a monumental address that he delivered July 4th, 2020, and we shared it again July 4th, 2021. And I say it is because there's more and more discussion around COVID-19. The minister has already given us his instructions He has not lifted up on his instructions, and you are blessed to know this sister, Dr. Ava Muhammad, who is now heading up a powerful section of the Final Call newspaper around COVID-19, talking about diet, talking about different things you can do. And some of the history and the nuances around what's going on in COVID-19 that may not break in mainstream news that you would not get anywhere else. And not only, even if you got it somewhere else, is that source credible? Can you really believe them? The other sources make you say, I don't know who they are. But when you come and read from the Final Call, Similes, you're getting some great information. And you can go to finalcalldigital.com, finalcalldigital.com. So also NOI.org, we are there for you to get more information about COVID-19, but also you can learn how to improve yourself. You can have self-improvement, the basis for community development, every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. Go to NOI.org, 7:30 p.m., NOI.org, spiritual teachings on Sunday. Come join for your elevation of spirit on Sundays at 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern, and back on Farrakhan Speaks every Wednesday night, 7:30 p.m., NOI.org. And we're saying all this is because we are in a great time. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan told us, what? Watch the weather. And as we're watching the weather, Dr. Ava, we're seeing what's going on across the country. But then look at what's going on in Germany. Look what's going on in China, flooding in global places around the planet. There's a lot going on. Then we're looking at the trouble down in this great country called Cuba and the unrest. But the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is giving guidance of what's going on in all of these world affairs as we are watching them play out on the news. And then Dr. Ava, is very interesting that today, as I spoke last week, that our sisters, Representative Beatty, Melanie Campbell, Court Masterberry, Tamika Mallett, Linda Sasson, so many, Tasha Brown from Black Lives Matter, got arrested dealing with the filibuster and talking about voting rights matter. And today, our brother, my boy, Black Male Voters Matter, Mindale Robinson or Rashad Robinson with Color Change, and others, and Mark Thompson today got arrested as they was fighting for voting rights. So the sisters did it last week. The brothers did it this week. But we're fighting, and stuff is going on as a time of trouble. We're looking at Texas, and Texas Senate legislative has passed legislation talking about we are not, or you don't have to, in school systems, teach about some history. They said they're going to even take out the history of Martin Luther King. So, I mean, Texas is kind of tripping. Texas is going off the chain. Texas is talking about arresting Congress folks in their state. Texas is off the chain. So as we're watching all this stuff in a time of trouble, we remember a lecture, Dr. Ava, from 2020, February 2020, the unraveling of a great nation.
Right.
So the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, whether you want to take it or leave it alone, we're going to take it because we know it's good medicine, good guidance, the realities that he has already laid out and that we are seeing right in front of us right now. So there's so much, like I said, going on in the news. We watch Bezos of Amazon go up, and people have so many jokes about what he went up in the rocket. But he went up, and he paid billions of dollars or millions of dollars just to go up. Yeah, billions of dollars just to go up into space to say, hey, and then come back down. And now we see that, and it's just amazing that they have just the money just to do that. But they're and off the backs of the poor, because we understand the wages that Amazon workers have been fighting for and the treatment of Amazon workers, and we watching him just take a trip to space. But he gave, I forgot the gentleman's name, the cook, Ann Van Jones, $100 million dollars to do what they want to do. And we know that Van Jones is in the environmental justice, climate change, as well as prison reform. You know, he did some stuff with Jay-Z. So we want to see what he's going to do with that money. And it was interesting, my friend Mustafa Ali with American the Wildlife Federation, he had mentioned that it was good on Roland Martin's show. It was good, you know, that Van Jones got it, but he said it would have been better if Bezos would have given it to the frontline communities that are actually in the communities doing the work to help our actual people. I know Bezos wouldn't have given the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan $100 million to go clean up what he is doing without the money from all of those people going into communities, cleaning up our brothers and our sisters. So that's why we're here tonight. Go to finalcalldigital.com, finalcalldigital.com to know what the subject is tonight, because we got a powerful discussion, powerful topic, and you have Dr. Ava. And if you don't know anything about Dr. Ava, go to ministerava.com, ministerava.com, and look at the list of book titles. They are now pulling back The Force and Power of Being to have group discussions online. They're doing it. There's a master's class coming up for women only in August. You don't want to miss it. I know some of you have been burnt out. Don't you want to learn about burnout? Don't you want to learn about how to eat properly, how to live properly in the new life that you want to live? Don't you want a real love instead of that raggedy love you thought you had? Go to ministerava.com and learn about all of the things, the e-books, the books that you can get to help you in your growth and to help you with all of the stuff that I done laid out. There's balance, and you can use your force and power of being. Back to you, Dr. Ava.
Oh, thank you for getting us started, putting us in the mood and in the mindset that we need to be in to receive this wisdom we're going to be receiving shortly through our beloved brother, member of the Nation of Islam research team and a multitude of other things, Dr. Wesley Muhammad. First, we are going to hear from our legal contributor, Sister Attorney Pamela Muhammad, who, as I mentioned, is host of a very much needed and new program, A Time for Justice. Sister Pamela Muhammad, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Dr. Ava Muhammad, and assalamu alaikum to you, Brother Terrence. Yes,
wa alaikum salam.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And you know what, Sister Ava, thank you again for announcing our show, A Time for Justice, which comes on Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, and it is on the Elevated Places Network. So we're having a wonderful time on this show, and we thank the Elevated Places Network and the team for all that they do to help, you know, make this show and support us. And so last Tuesday, we talked about a subject, and what Brother Terrence mentioned made me think of it, because we talked about the topic of municipal courts and the poor and how that's a gateway to the criminal justice system. And Brother Terrence was talking about how corporations do make, you know, they're living on the backs of the poor. And so we know that these municipal courts, we looked at Ferguson, Missouri, because Ferguson, where Michael Brown was murdered years ago, everybody knows about Michael Brown. Well, they exposed the real underbelly of that racial targeting of people and jailing people for the inability to pay fine, imposing heavy burdens on people who don't have the ability to pay. Because, see, we looked at the fact that we know that there are excessive stops of black people. And oftentimes we talk about how the horrible incidents of murder are exacted on our people by police. But also there's that underbelly where the ticketing goes on and the oppressive conduct where it results in millions of dollars of fees being paid by residents under these municipal court schemes and revenue collections. So we had three lawyers talk about it. We actually even had a magistrate judge. And we discussed this because even though we know, you know, these harassing tickets that we get for trash pickups and trash collections or busted, you know, supposedly tail lights or failing to roll through stoplights, all, you know, many of these things are pretextual stops anyway. But there's a tremendous amount of harm going on to our people, and black people, of course, are disproportionately stopped. And so it's resulting in loss of jobs. It's resulting in incarcerations because people are losing their driver's licenses so they can't get to work, or they're being incarcerated. And one brother, discussed how a little traffic ticket in a small municipality in Missouri, in Jennings, resulted in a young man taking his life because he just wasn't healthy enough to even be held, you know, for something so minute. And so, again, Ferguson is a really big issue, and I think it's important for us as black people to really understand what's going on in this country, because there are federal lawsuits being filed all over this country talking about what they're calling debtors' prisons. Because anytime people are jailed as a result of not being able to pay a fee or a fine, that's actually unconstitutional. So warrants being issued for people because of minor traffic tickets, this is unconstitutional. And, you know, those were some of the issues that we really talked about. And I think it's very important because, oh, and this is the main thing I want to say before I get off of this. You know, one of the studies that was done by an agency called Our City Defenders out of Ferguson, the harm that happens as a result of this type of oppressive stopping and ticketing and, you know, these long lines, that how I think white people got so rich. That was one of the books that the research team put out, and it showed the lines in Ferguson all around, you know, you waiting 5-6 hours. And so there's harm. And they talked about a study out of University of York, where it talked about harassment, both physical and psychological, and how it results in the negative consequences for the victim. Harassment can lead to lack of confidence, fatigue, depression, isolation, frustration, stress, trauma, and a loss of motivation. These ramifications can lead to direct decrease in productivity and making it even very difficult for individuals to succeed at work or to engage in their community. And so, see, these are the invisible harms that families are having to deal with. And I say they're invisible because we think, oh, you got a traffic ticket, you know, pay it. But sometimes that $1,600 for these accumulated fines and all this, you know, pay to play, these schemes, they're like black codes, and they're causing really, like the Quran says, you know, sometimes persecution is worse than slaughter. And yes, this is what we see our people living under. And so that's what we talked about on A Time for Justice, and that's on Tuesdays at 7 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. And I just wanted to say in closing, looking at the article from The Final Call, where it talks about Mr. Cosby speaking out against Sister Ava. That's where we ended last week. And, you know, the one thing that I thought was interesting, a quote, is how Mr. Cosby is quoted as saying, you know, this situation he went through. He said, you're sitting in a room, this injustice that he went through, this travesty that he went through. I want to make that clear because it wasn't a situation. But you're sitting in a room trying to explain something, and there is a knock on the door. You say, who is it? The response is, it's the truth. So people start jumping out of the window. And so that, you know, that's what he was saying, you know, that people don't want to deal with the truth. And so with that, I wanted to announce that on A Time for Justice on our next week, Tuesday, and that is, I believe, the July the 27th, we're going to have Mr. Andrew Wyatt, who serves as the public relations and crisis manager for the actor and comedian, Mr. Bill Cosby. He is going to be the guest on our show, A Time for Justice, and that is next Tuesday. Mr. Wyatt is the founder and president and CEO of the Birmingham-based Purpose Public Relations firm. So he's going to be our guest, and it's also my understanding that Sister Ava Muhammad will be joining us. So I'm just very excited. And Sister Ava, that's my that's what I want to talk about today. I'm so excited.
I am too, and I saw a portion of Mr. Wyatt's interview with Boyce Watkins shortly after the exoneration of our brother, and I was incredibly impressed with him.
So this
will be a very profound program
that
will take place. Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much.
Thank you. As-salam.
All right. Wa alaikum salam. And of course, we want you to stay with us and continue to be part of the panel this evening. And unless Brother Terrence has any more breaking news, then we're going to get into the meat of our program tonight.
All right.
And tonight's subject is the mother plane. Now, you know, every week I implore us to make sure that we subscribe to the digital and pick up our hard copies of the only truly independent free black publication in the world at this point. And that is none other than the Final Call newspaper. The cover of this week's issue, which is dated July 27th, is the hidden truth about UFOs, and there's a very some very intriguing black and white photography that you need to see. And it, as the headlines indicate, U.S. government admits so-called UFOs are real, but there's more. Learn how these crafts are linked to the Nation of Islam teachings, America's fall, and the rise of black people. And so tonight, I can't think of anyone better to address this particular revelation on this week's Final Call newspaper, that there's no longer a mystery. They can no longer really say UFOs, if they're being honest, because they know more than they're telling us. But I'm not going to go any further into it. I have the pleasure, the privilege, the honor of bringing back to us a very, very popular guest on Elevated Places. I don't know how this much time was allowed to go by, Brother Terrence. But that being said, You atoned because you got our brother tonight, okay? But we're going to make a commitment not to allow that much time to lapse. I could probably talk about 20 minutes about Dr. Wesley Muhammad's credentials and background. Most of you who are listening know him very well, but I will suffice it to say this. He is not only an author and profound researcher, brilliant researcher, he is also a member of both the Executive Council of the Nation of Islam, as well as the Nation of Islam Research Group. And we are so blessed that he was able to take time out of his busy schedule. He's working on projects. As I said, he's on the Executive Council, and that in and of itself would be enough for a person. But welcome back, Brother Dr. Wesley. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you so much for coming tonight and to speak on this powerful subject.
Oh, Dr. Ava, wa alaikum salam. I'm so honored. Thank you, dear sister. Look, when the national spokesperson of the Nation of Islam and the Honorable Brother Minister Farrakhan calls you, it's nothing but a humbling honor to answer. So thank you, my dear sister.
All praises be to Allah. Yes, sir. And so I think, Brother Terrence, didn't you just hear Dr. Wesley on Facebook recently? Dr. Wesley, he came flying to us, you know, figuratively, probably literally.
Well, our subject is the mother plane, isn't it? Terrence, want to share with us? Got some secrets?
And he's like, man, he said, Dr. Wesley is throwing down, which you always do on whatever subject. This is so exciting for the
this subject is juicy.
And it's a confirmation,
Brother Terrence.
Yes, sir.
Say again.
I said this subject is juicy, isn't it?
I love this.
The mother plane. This is a juicy subject. Muslims should never avoid this subject. This is fun. This is hot.
Yes.
And it's the easiest thing, the easiest aspect of the teachers of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad to demonstrate empirically. The easiest.
Well, come on and talk to us.
Now, Dan, let me just say this, Dr. Ava. What Dr. Wesley just said, I don't know who's listening, but it put somebody to shame when he just said this is one of the easiest. Now, that's why we got Dr. Wesley on here, because I want him to break that down. And what does he mean? This is an easy and fun topic. Because people are like, hold on. How you going to say that, brother? I don't know that much. And I know you're going to break it down for us so we can see how easy to defend what you just getting to lay out.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Terrence. So let me clarify, not qualify, because I don't think it needs qualification, but I'm sure it needs clarification, but it stands true. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teaching on the mother wheel in 2021 is the most easiest of all of his teachings to demonstrate as true. I say that for this reason. Of all of the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you know, Dr. Ava, being yourself from the academy, right?
Yes.
You know that the so-called smart people of the Western world had for a long time, and even today, their sport was to mock the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Mock them and dismiss them as fantasy and, you know, the big head scientist, Yaqub, ha, 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 the mothership, ha, 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 all of that. But, you know, men on Mars, all of that. Shabazz and East Asia, all of that. The so-called intellectuals like to, they made themselves feel real smart by mocking the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Now, my life work, 1992, my life mission crystallized for me, which was the academic vindication of the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And what I found is, of all of the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the mothership at the same time is two things. It's one, the aspect that is most made mockery of, but two, it's the aspect that has the absolute most and overwhelming amount of empirical evidence to verify it. It is so easily verifiable, and by easily I mean the amount of data, the amount of documentation that not only proves that there's something actually flying around up in these skies, but the data in this cumulative
validates and confirms the details of the will that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave us. So all of those who are talking about aliens and they have their theory about the origin of them, a theory that does not take into account the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Data proves the reality of these craft as represented by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And so in closing, I'd say this. Mm-hmm. The data that proves the reality of the mothership, the mother plane, and its wheels, its baby planes, the data that confirms it is so overwhelming in 2021, I like to say it takes more blind faith to disbelieve in the reality of the mother plane than it takes to believe in it. What do I mean by blind faith? Well, the evidence of things unseen. Blind faith is when you have to, in order to believe in something, we have to blind ourselves to the evidence that's in our face, right?
Wow.
So the flat world is in order for them to maintain their crazy belief that the earth is flat, they have to blind themselves to all of the data. That's blind faith. It takes blind faith to disbelieve in the reality of the mother wheel as taught by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad today.
What would you advise or in giving guidance to the brothers and sisters who themselves, as you pointed out, can see the empirical evidence, but have difficulty perhaps communicating this or discussing it with other people they know who are being guided by blind faith, people among us, our people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What do you think are the best, you know, points to start in with? Because the other thing I want to say to our family tonight, those of you that don't know, Brother Dr. Wesley is also a brilliant debater. The art and science of the art and the science
right.
of debate. Yes, yes.
Praise belongs
he takes
to
all comers. You come against the
I'm coming from
Honorable
you
Elijah
because,
Muhammad.
Because you are as sharp as a sword, Dr. Ava. So that means everything coming from you.
Praise be to Allah. So how would you say to frame the narrative and approach as we go about living?
Well, in terms of, I want to make sure I understand your question.
The reality,
in terms of,
like if I say to somebody, let's say now we know the Pentagon has revealed these things itself. Usually they're the extreme opposite. They're the pillar of secrecy.
Right.
And so here's the U.S. military is actually the source of all of the release of the information now and
right.
confirming the presence of the baby planes, et cetera. So what we, the Nation of Islam, we're saying, not only do we know the full truth, we're the reason for it.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So how
right.
how would you want to get that across to somebody?
Well, I think long we should not start with the Pentagon's recent release.
Okay.
To me, the most important event in this story was Savior's Day or Savior's Day weekend 1942 and the subsequent unfolding. Now, of course, most of us are familiar with the Battle of Los Angeles of February 25th and 26th, 1942. That's when, as captured on the front cover of the Los Angeles Times and the Los Angeles Herald Examiner, I believe, or Herald News, was a picture of heavy artillery from U.S. military heavy artillery being shot at a clearly defined UFO, a flying disc. Over 1,000 rounds shot at it. It didn't phase it. Now, what's important, what is often not put in the presentation of the Battle of Los Angeles is the larger story, which includes that prior to that actual military encounter with that single craft, that the military saw a huge craft on the coastline, California coastline, with such smaller craft entering and exiting. So there was the big craft, which we know to be the mother plane, that was seen right in California right before the baby plane took fire from the U.S. military and then wasn't fazed by it. Now, that was Savior's Day weekend, literally Savior's Day weekend, February 25th and 26th, 1942. President Roosevelt, based on the report that he got on February 26th, the next day, President Roosevelt ordered the construction eventually of 3 hidden cities. Now, President Roosevelt is the one who ordered the arrest in September of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. When the FBI picked up the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave the FBI a statement. And in his statement to the FBI, which is found today in both the FBI file on Elijah Muhammad and the FBI file on W.D. Farrar, questioned the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad about the mothership or the mother plane, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad gives them certain details, like the blueprint for this military weapon had been in Mecca for thousands of years. This is what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is telling the FBI, according to the statement that they presented in both files, that the blueprint for this craft had been held in Mecca for thousands of years, and at the time of operation, the blueprints were turned over to Japan because, of course, the craft was created in the island of Nippon off the coast of Japan. He told the FBI about the bombs that the baby planes can drop, that the bombs will go down there. They are equipped with timers that will drill 1 mile into the earth when they make contact, explode, and send a mountain up 1 mile. Why I'm citing that, President Roosevelt ordered the construction of 3 hidden cities in America, and one in New York, one in Virginia, and one, I believe, in Pennsylvania. These hidden cities are built, wait for it, 1 mile underground. Built a mile underground on massive springs, supposedly allowing the hidden city to withstand a nuclear bomb. I do not believe that Ava, that they're situating these cities a mile or a little in excess of a mile underground is arbitrary. This was President Roosevelt's attempt and the U.S. government's attempt to, once formally introduced to the mother plane, February 25th, 1942, the government began to make preparations to survive and to fight. And their hubris, survive and fight. Now, I'm going to read. I'm going to close with this. When, in terms of the hidden cities that President Roosevelt constructed after having knowledge, after having been introduced to the mothership in real life, February 25th in Los Angeles, and having knowledge that the FBI secured from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he ordered the construction of these hidden cities. And in 1991, CNN did a special investigation on these hidden cities.
The CNN investigator, Freddie Lewis, this broadcast on November 17th, 1991, he gives the purpose for these three hidden cities that Roosevelt ordered the construction of. And he says, quote, it, meaning this continuity, this doomsday plan, it's called the doomsday plan, the continuity of government, is part of the continuity of government operation from the White House. CNN says, quote, it's overseen directly by the White House because of its fundamental mission to make sure that the constitutional government survives Armageddon. The point is to survive Armageddon, not just a conventional, mundane nuclear war, but Armageddon is the ultimate war of God and Satan. And these hidden cities were built to survive that war. And the weapon of that war, at least on God's side, that they've been familiar with now after being formally introduced February 25th, 1942, the chief weapon in this war of Armageddon is the mother.
Come on, come on. Wow.
Sorry, are you guys able to hear me?
Yes, sir, but we hear you
sir.
Better
okay.
Now. But I figured you might be going to pull something out of your massive collection.
I'm sorry. I have my headset on.
Okay.
So
yes, sir.
I hope I didn't go out for too long.
Oh, no, sir. No, we.
Okay. Praise belongs to Allah.
And this is very insightful about the Battle of Los Angeles.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Because I know you dropped some things I wasn't aware of in terms of the backdrop.
Yes,
and the story and, you know, who was in the Oval Office. You know, and these things bring our mind to accepting that this is real, this is not a myth,
yes.
You know, and it's important those of us who say we believe that we don't just go along to get along,
yes,
and just say oh yeah the mother plane, but the reality of it is not taking root in our mind.
Ma'am.
We have to reject that and study and listen to those among us, such as yourself, such as Brother Ilya Rashad.
Shout out to Brother Ilya.
He's awesome. You know, and this is such a blessing to us because, you know, one of the things that solidified the fall of the nation after the departure of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was the attack on the reality of the mother plane.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
I remember the minister saying that the reality of the mother plane is at the very heart of the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and that when he left the scene, when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad left the scene, what you talked about earlier, this was the language within our circle, the mockery.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, it was a joke. It was false.
Yes, ma'am.
And when you take away the reality that we have backup against the most formidable opponent to God,
yes,
that
ma'am,
has ever been on this planet, then that alone, and I feel in truth, most of the positions that our people take, they take it out of fear of the one they think is the most powerful.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
And you know, that's such a great point. You know what is disheartening to me in terms of how we, the Muslims, our handling of or not of the mothership, we have at best a very weak allegiance to this aspect of our teaching. At worst, many of us quietly are embarrassed by it and mock it. And it's so unfortunate because, and I saw consequences of that reality with the publication and the Pentagon report and the resulting national conversation. All of this talk about the UFOs that we, the Nation of Islam, have been teaching the world about since the 30s. Now,
yes,
all of this national discussion is taking place, and we are absent from it.
Come on.
The world
on.
Should be
say
coming
that.
To us saying, yo, y'all have been teaching us about this. So now that the government is admitting this, please tell us what we are looking at. But the world is considering us, and so all of these other UFO narratives are spun and get in play, false narratives, and none of them are countenancing the true narrative offered by the Nation of Islam. And because we, too many of us, we have to repossess the narrative, this UFO narrative. The Nation of Islam must repossess the narrative. We have the answers to the questions that the phenomenon naturally raises. We got the answers to them. And let us not forget that wheel and its babies that has the world shook, where this happens to be, you know, the protector of our man, the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan. That's his history. So you have to come to us to get the true narrative of these things, but the national discourse has left us out. And too many of us are happy with being left out of that discourse because I think we don't have the proper connection to this aspect of the teaching. And it's a sad irony because this is the, again, going back to my initial point, the most easily demonstrable aspect of the teaching. If you want to choose a subject of the teachings to have the strongest conviction of and in, hoping that that conviction will lead to conviction in other aspects of the teaching, I would recommend you choose the mothership.
Come
well,
on.
Choose God. But because you can be so thoroughly, if you took the time, you can be so thoroughly convinced of the reality of this seemingly most fantastic aspect of our teaching. But you and I can be so thoroughly convinced of this reality, rationally, logically, empirically, not no spookiness, then you will know that you chose the right religion, one, and you will know that this is ours and we, the Nation of Islam, must reclaim the narrative.
Yeah, that's powerful teaching.
That's right.
I mean, any other group of people that had this, that could claim ownership of this would probably be everywhere.
Claim ownership of this? Man, we got the best thing going, Dr. Ava. Islam is just fly. This is no other way for me to say it. Our Islam is fly. We got the best teaching. It's the illest. Because every aspect of our teaching will make an outrageously awesome movie, like science fiction movie, but like crazy entertaining, but every aspect of it is true and can be demonstrated. That's the best of both worlds.
That's right.
That's the best of both worlds. So we have the awesomeness teaching, our structure, our leader, our God. The Nation of Islam is the baddest thing in time still. And so nothing about it should we surrender to the world or tuck. Shouldn't tuck any of it, because our strength is in it.
Well, praise be to Allah. Well, we've got a whole bank of people on the calls. In fact, I don't even know if we can take any more calls. But we got a lot of people wanting to weigh in or ask you questions. I know they're happy that you're here this evening. So let's take a few calls. And,
yes,
and at any time, Dr. Wesley, if you want to make some observations and further edify us, you know, while we got you, please feel free. It doesn't have to be follow some sequence or anything, but when the spirit hits you or something comes to you, share it, because this is awesome already. Brother Daryl, assalamu alaikum.
Yes, ma'am. Well, like salam, beloved. How you doing, Sister Dr. Ava and Brother Tienz and Brother Wesley and Sister Attorney Pamela?
Well,
praise be to Allah. I am so happy to belong to the Nation of Islam. Like Dr. Wesley said, we have the
best right?
being in the nation, and knowing we got a living God, and this will is so real, I could bear witness. I want to ask Dr. Wesley a question, or bear witness to it, but I had a quick question. You know, last Thursday we was talking about Brother Cosby, and you said he was going to touch back on it. But anyway, you had mentioned about the final call, and our doctors have this, what they produced, and it been out for 50 years. You have to have a doctor's prescription to get, you know what I'm saying, what we spoke on last Thursday.
Oh, the ivermectin.
Yes, I got family and friends listening in, but the lines are so crowded, but I think my sister got on. Could you repeat that and give the spelling they would like to know so they can see about getting a prescription? Because, you know, some of our family members has, but anyway, I just want to bear witness to what Brother Wesley spoke about. I had a dream or a vision. I seen the mother plane before it even came on the movie with Will Smith in a vision. In reality, we had about five vans About 15, 20 years ago, we came to Chicago, and the minister had all meeting for the sisters, so we rented 5 vans and drove down. At that time, may Allah be pleased with Brother Lewis Jr. We all was out there in the lot right there in Miles and Marianne, and we all the brothers was out there talking. So we got out, and Brother Lewis came out, and we were standing out in front of the parking lot. And Allah is my witness. One of the baby wheels came down. Because you know the minister said, wherever he is, the wheel lives. One of the baby planes came down. It was so clear, Brother Wesley, where I seen a roll of light spinning around on one of the baby wheels right at the top going right, and the bottom of set of lights was going left, the opposite, and it was hovering over Miles Marianne. I bear witness. I am a believer seeing this and knowing that this is real. And about what you spoke about, the drill on the bomb, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad spoke about that on the Theology of Time, where it drilled 100 feet a mile, and then it bring up a mountain 100 miles. But he said within a 50-mile radius, when it go off, it killed anything in a 50-mile radius. So this thing is real, and I am so happy to be a part of the nation. It's not, and, brother, I love you. May Allah continue to bless you as well.
Oh, I love brother, you. Thank you.
You be laying it out, brother. I'm still exhausted. I'm still digesting the 2 tapes you did on about the feminization of the marijuana.
Thank you. That tape is so
blessing, brother. It's real. You did your research, and I thank Allah for you for being a help like Sister Ava and all the rest is helping our leader. May Allah continue to bless you all.
Thank you. I love you.
I am happy. I can't wait to get on every Thursday and hear the lectures. And it keeps me grounded. It's our lifesaver. Yes, I love you all. And if you can, so say, but my mother would like to know. I hope she's listening. She wants the playback number as well. And once you give the spelling of that, what we spoke about, may Allah continue to bless you all. I love you, and ain't nothing you can do about it. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. We love you too.
Yes, sir. Did you have anything, any comments on the call, brother?
No, I'm just humbled by it. I'm getting my bearings straight. It's just humbling. I appreciate the call, and we want that information, Dr. Ava. That he asked for that ivermectin. I'm sure all of us want that. So we're waiting for you.
Oh, yes, sir. Well, I know the first thing he asked was the spelling, and the it's a medication, a drug, that was originally developed for parasites 50 years ago, and it's so successful, the developers of it received the Nobel Prize. And it is called ivermectin. That's I, V as in Valerie, E-R-M-E-C-T-I-N, ivermectin. And what I was looking for, but I will find it before the program ends, in addition to our Dr. Sophia Shabazz, who practices in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and prescribes ivermectin, I'm going to look up I think there's an 800 number or a website that is from one of our colleagues, Brother Allen Muhammad, Dr. Wesley.
Shout out, Brother Allen.
Yes. He sent me a directory or a link to a directory of doctors throughout the United States that will prescribe ivermectin for you. And if you're in another location, they'll do the telemedicine. They'll consult with you over the internet, and then they will give you the prescription for the ivermectin. It is profound.
That's an extremely valuable resource right there. Thank you, Brother Allen. And Dr. A. Thank you.
So I'm gonna it's somewhere in his messages, and if I can't find it, I'm gonna have him resend it to me so I can give it over the air.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, somebody's phone.
Yeah, somebody.
I'm getting some. Okay. Okay, now we got that corrected. Yes, sir. All right. So we're going to go to our next caller, and that is, I think, our brother down in Memphis, Brother Hoyle. Let's get Brother Hoyle on.
As-salamu alaykum. I'm up here with a heavyweight. Yes, sir. Brother Wesley, you do an excellent job. May Allah bless you in your endeavors. I'm just trying to get guests and trying to grow up to be like you, brother.
man, we're all grown trying to be like Farrakhan.
That's teach.
Grown trying to be like Farrakhan. You know, when only certain human beings can be one namers, right? Muhammad,
right.
Jesus,
right.
Buddha, Elijah, Farrakhan. So, we all are striving. If we got any sense at all,
yes, sir.
We're striving to be like Farrakhan.
I wanted to bring you some information. This was some years ago. Some brothers in the nation on the police force and the firemen. I got to find it. I'm looking for it now, but it's actual protocol, Dr. Wesley, of what to do. You know, these devils always have technology, and they know the truth. But it's actual protocol of what to tell the people when they see the wheels. I have.
Is that right?
Either email. Yes. I'm gonna send it to Sister Ava when I find it. They have what to say in the media. It's a government protocol. The brother sent it to me in the email. It's, when I moved, I lost a lot of my stuff, so I have to probably find it. It's in here in some of these boxes. But it's actual protocol. It's from the city of Memphis, probably from the United States government, of what to do. And they know, you know, when they see a wheel, not to get close to it. One of the things I remember is deceive the people of what they are, you know.
Right.
If I find that, inshallah, I'll get it to Brother Ili Rashad. This was maybe 10 years,
that
10
would
or 15
be great.
Years ago. And I'll get it to you, either Sister Ava or Ili Rashad, and I'll get that actual information. But like I said, each day, like the brother was saying, our lost found people, you'd be surprised if some of the lost found people who've seen those. I've had friends and family members who, you know, they're afraid to speak out. And they've actually seen them when they're children or, you know, because they may have been looked at as crazy or whatnot. But a lot of our people have seen them. So,
right. Actually, so, that triggered a course correction from the U.S. government. Because so many Americans, high and so-called low, by low I just mean from the average civilian to high-level politicians, civic leaders, business people, and military personnel, so many have seen it and gone on record as having seen it. The government had to course correct. The initial posture of the government was denial. But then it changed to disinformation. From denial to disinformation. The government attempted to deny the reality of these craft for so long, dismissed them. Well, it's a weather balloon. It's an aerial, a natural aerial phenomenon. All of this denial was the tactic.
Mm-hmm.
But once too many Americans, and then globally, too many governments have gone on record as having studied and being perturbed or disturbed by these crafts, the government went from denial to disinformation. The thinking being a train. You want to stop a train, it's in motion. you speed it up and make it jump track. So that's when the government started seeding the national discourse, not with denials, but with acknowledgments that are partnered with disinformation. A key example, two key examples, you know, William Cooper's Behold a Pale Horse has acquired iconic status, right, in the woke community or the truther community. And I have an appreciation for Bill Cooper and Behold a Pale Horse as well.
Yes, sir.
However, by his own, he recognized that he could be, and he ended up being, a purveyor of disinformation regarding the UFO phenomena. The chief piece of disinformation that the government spent a lot of time, money, creativity to propagate is that these craft, yeah, they're real, but they are flown and piloted by little green or little gray men. The whole ET phenomenon that the government actually created, deliberately created the EBE or ET aspect of the narrative. So acknowledge that the craft is real because we can't deny the reality of the craft, but control the narrative. But by making it the narrative so outlandish, little green men or little gray men with big bug eyes, insect-like pilots of the craft, the average person would just dismiss it on their own. Now, we got the record of the government actually authoring and even staging, providing stagecraft to this narrative, this little gray, or EBE narrative. And William Cooper fell victim to it. Those who study ufology or UFOs, the Majestic 12 document, very famous documents in ufology, supposedly procured secret government documents that speak to or reveal the government's knowledge of the craft, but also the government detailed knowledge of the aliens in actual possession of the aliens of the craft. It's called Majestic 12, but those documents have been demonstrated to be fraudulent. And, of course, those documents are relied on to say, see, the government knows they're real, and the government knows that, no, the aliens are real, but the aliens are not the black men that we know are the pilots of these crafts.
That's right.
The aliens from these documents, these fraudulent government documents, leaked by the government, by the way,
yes, sir,
propagate the false narrative. And as we were talking, Dr. Abel, see, the false narrative has imprisoned the discourse. The false narrative being, the craft are real, and they're from Mars or Venus or any place else. They're flown by these creatures. It's an anti-black false, an anti-black God false narrative. The government is the author of this anti-black God false narrative of the mother world.
Wow.
Yes, sir. So we reject our salvation.
That's right.
That's our salvation.
Listening to that.
Thank you, Dr.
Yes,
Wesley.
We do.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. May Allah bless you.
May continue to bless you as well, Brother Hoyer.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. Ooh. And this is Satan's last shot. So he's coming with everything he's got to deceive us.
Because after all of this time, this man really doesn't intend to just submit and go out with a little bit of grace. This man really thinks he can survive Armageddon. The hubris, the arrogance of this man. So he is enacting all of these plots with the aim of staying here instead of being destroyed from the planet according to the time he was given. He wants to stay here, but of course Allah gave him an opportunity to stay here longer, to submit.
Sure did.
But this white man will not submit. He thinks he can fight God and stay here rather than submit to God and stay here. It's just really crazy the way this man thinks.
It's unbelievable. But it's his nature. He just can't do it.
It's his nature. He just can't do it.
He cannot submit to the black God. He can't do it.
He cannot. Poe, man. It's so visceral for him, Dr. A, but he cannot submit to the black God. Poe, man.
Exactly.
But
we're going to...
Yes,
sir.
No, I was just jumping in because, a couple of things that was being said is that when Dr. Westerman and you all said he won't submit, we just see how we have had conversations on our show about black athletes, and they just can't deal with the strength and the power back of black athletes, and they always throwing stuff in the ranch. But then just as we're looking at, we talked about at the top of the show, Bezos going to, going out of space, they just – they have to figure out how to conquer. They have to figure out how to win.
Right.
They cannot believe that there's another power greater than them. They will not believe, and they cannot, even though they know, as we know, that in Renoka Rashidi and all our scholars always talk about where our history is buried. A lot of our history, they dug up, took, and they have stuff in the Vatican. They have stuff in Europe and have our stuff, so they know who we are. They know our history. And they are trying to literally mimic and copy who we are. As we look at white people, and there's certain videos I watch now, and it's funny, like you'll see this white lady teaching hip-hop. If you do left, right, throw your arm, and they're teaching how to do hip-hop movements, right? And it's funny. But the reality is they're trying to copy so they can claim that they are the originators of. So as
of God.
There you go. Mm-hmm. And that's the reality of when Dr. Wester said, no, we can't start right here with their release. Let's go all the way back and know where they got it from and where they have been studying in it. And now they're able to say that this is what we have been researching and this is what we have found. But where was the core beginning of them even to think about studying? That's why we also talk about black scholarship. Most of our black scholars came through the Nature of Islam to even have the thought to go research our history to begin them on their black scholarship, whether they stayed or did not. Who sparked that thought in white and black?
Excellent thought. And if I, Brother Terrence, because this ape of God, this white man, the Jew in particular, they said the saying is Satan is the ape of God. He tries to ape God. He tries to mimic what God does, but he inverts it always. And there is no better example of Satan as the ape of God as this subject right here of the mother plane, because we documented after 1942, the official introduction, Savior's Day, 1942 in Los Angeles, the U.S. and Canada entered into, by the 50s, entered into a joint duplication program, a program not just to study this phenomenon, but to duplicate the phenomena. Germany started early in 42 trying to duplicate the phenomena, but real government effort, because of course Nazi Germany was destroyed in the war, but the U.S. and Canada engaged in a years-long duplication program to an attempt to to create their own mothership, which is why I always tell you know it's important. Not every mysterious ship in the sky is ours. Don't assume every mysterious ship in the sky to be ours. So now, I've never been blessed to have any close encounters. But I always like to say, because I know the devil has been attempting to duplicate, and he tests his aerial phenomena. Now, he can't duplicate. He can only ape, because that's what Satan does. Satan can't duplicate God. Satan apes God. So whatever they come up with ain't going to be the mothership, but they're going to try to make it look like. They are going to try to produce. They are studying the mothership with the aim of duplicating it, thinking they can go toe-to-toe with the mothership, but of course they can't. But these devils literally have a duplication program, and they got the fruits of this program flying around the skies. Area 51, there's a lot of talk about Area 51. You know what made it into the movies? Is it the government's secret location of their captured UFO? Really, Area 51, most of what's hidden in Area 51 is the fruits of the government's duplication program, not a whole bunch of material that Allah gave them. Though we know from the Honorable Brother Mr. Farrakhan that Allah did give them something and someone to study in Roswell. And an important point, the whole Roswell situation, the Roswell crash, while later reports, when the mythology of Roswell, I don't know if everyone knows, in the Roswell is the story of in Roswell, New Mexico, there was allegedly a flying saucer crash. And it was a bona fide flying saucer crash. There was debris. Now, the popular narrative associated with Roswell has a story of little alien insect-like beings were recovered. But the earliest reports of remains of the pilots had them as totally humanoid, human. While they were adjusted for size, they were small to accommodate the G-force, is what their reports were saying, to accommodate the G-force of these craft. So they were small, what dropped in Roswell, but they were completely, or he, because there was only one, was completely human. It was later that the Roswell crash was associated with these insect-like beings. And so, again, just going back to the devil, Satan can't duplicate God, but Satan spends every day trying to ape God. And this is no example. He's trying to produce him, and has been trying to produce him a mothership, but he can't. He only got one book of mathematics.
Brother Dr. Wesley.
Yeah, he's doing wrong.
Yes, ma'am.
Brother Dr. Wesley, assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Pamela.
Wa alaikum salam. Yes, ma'am.
I so admire your scholarly work and all your lectures. Thank you so much for all that
Allah.
You do. Yes,
thank
sir.
Thank you.
I had a question. Yes, sir. All praise due to Allah. I am looking at the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's article in this week's final call. It says that it's he talks about how it's useless to try to ignore Ezekiel's vision of the wheel for the make and the destructive work of the will and was foretold before it came to pass. And then in the next paragraph, he says the disbeliever believes that which he sees present and not that which is prophesied to come. So my part of my question is, I know you do a lot of religious scholarly research, and so I wonder, have you ran across where the disconnect came from this being a religious accepted, scripturally accepted, you know, known fact that there was some Ezekiel's vision, and why, you know, because it's so hard for even religious people to, you know, if they hear about it, it seems like the church should really be responding. And then my last question is how, when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says this is what the enemy is trying to do with the black man, he's saying that he's fascinating him with sport and play and indecency and the doing of evil to keep him from going to the God who is present. So with this phenomena of these, you know, the sightings of the plane and the information that's so mainstream now, why is it that, you know, are our people, is there a real upswing in campaigns to distract people, you think, with a lot of the filth and indecency?
Can we say WAP? Cardi B and Megan
Thee Stallion,
WAP?
Yes, sir. You're right.
An increased campaign to distract our people with indecency. So great questions. Let's try to tackle the first one first. The book of Ezekiel has been a source of profound consternation to religious scholars and the Jewish rabbis in their secret tradition, esoteric Judaism, or the secret Judaism of the rabbis, described in his scholarship in but many ways. You know, Merkavah, which means chariot. It's a secret tradition of the rabbis, chariot, a reference to what Ezekiel saw in chapter 1. But in esoteric or secret Judaism, the rabbis say there's two texts that are the highest of secrets. Whoever is revealed the meaning of these texts can never speak them loudly or openly. The meaning of the text can only be passed down in a whisper. And the two texts that represent the highest secrets of Judaism, one, Ezekiel chapter 1, and two, Genesis chapter 1. Now, Genesis chapter 1, of course, is the quote-unquote creation of God's creation of the world in 6 days. According to secret Judaism, they know that to represent God's self-evolution, God's very own self-evolution in 6 periods of time, culminating on day 6 with God as a man. But that represents among the highest, the theogony is the word they give for it, theogony, meaning a self-creation of God. And they say that Genesis chapter 1 is actually a secret narrative of theogony, God's self-creation in 6 stages. The other secret, highest secret of Judaism, is the meaning of Ezekiel chapter 1. Now, of course, Ezekiel chapter 1 is the scripture, the proof text for Ezekiel's vision. And so because that particular text has been one of the two highest secrets of Judaism, and in the history of interpretations of Ezekiel chapter 1, I had to look at it when I was writing my doctoral dissertation. Because the first part of my dissertation deals with God as a man from the biblical tradition. Ezekiel chapter 1 is central to that whole discourse because the two very controversial aspects of Ezekiel chapter 1. One is these wheels and the creatures associated with them, but two, the most explicit characterization of God in the form of a man. And so there's been all of this controversy. So now, please forgive this long answer, but to your question, but I want to say, because there's so much controversy, both Christians and Jews who don't have the secret, as the rabbis have it, Christian and Jewish scholars, lay scholars, have spent a whole bunch of ink trying to make sense of Ezekiel chapter 1. It was the honorable Elijah Muhammad who ended the mystery of Ezekiel chapter 1. He ended the two aspects of Ezekiel chapter 1 that was the source of all of this tremendous ink spilt is what do the wheels represent and why is it that God is depicted so explicitly in the form of a man? It's the Honorable Elijah Muhammad who gives us the clear answer to that, because God is a man, and he's the pilot, he's a master of those wheels which represent aircraft. So the reason they did not come to this conclusion is because it was a great mystery that was revealed by God to the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. They didn't know what chapter 1 meant except those secret Jews who have the teachings of Yaqub. They understood it. They kept it secret. God revealed it, and they have to come to terms with the revelation of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
Yes, sir.
He has the key to unlocking that chapter. All of the mysteries of it, the will aspect and the God aspect. He is the one that has the key to unlock in that chapter.
and profound proof of who he is.
Profound proof of who he is.
That's right. That's awesome.
Come on.
Thank you for that question, Sister Attorney. Okay, we're going to go back to the phones, and we still have a number of people. I know we're not going to reach everybody, but we'll do our best. We have Brother Michael who's calling in, and he has a comment. As-salamu alaykum, Brother Michael.
Alaykum salam, Sister Ava. How you doing, Dr. Wilson Muhammad? As-salamu alaykum.
I'm where, Brother Michael? Alaykum salam.
All right. Okay. Good to hear. Now, that piece of information that you gave about the Battle of Los Angeles, that was my first time hearing that, and that's profound in itself. So I did want to say that. Now,
thank you.
Being at Muhammad's Mosque number 74 in Indianapolis, Indiana, back in 2013, 2014, we went out among the people for a couple of hours during the summer. Brother Nuria took us out. Pretty rough neighborhood, you know, and, you know, the people was out, they were pretty receptive. So on our way back to the mosque, we was all getting out of the car, and we all happened to look up, and it was this large cloud. Never seen anything like it before in my life. And when I say this, it still gives me goosebumps to this day. I got a picture of it on my phone. I've never shared it with anybody. And the reason why I haven't is because I still want to try and make sense of it myself. But I knew that was my first time, the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. That was the first thing that came to my head. And I'm sitting up here like, and all of us was like looking up. And I actually took a picture of it. I still got it on my phone. I won't let nothing happen to that phone. I'm keeping it because I can't get the picture off of it. That's the one of the main reasons why I'm keeping it. But I know that when you say that,
powerful.
And when you talk about those wheels, they do protect the people that do God's work. Whether they know it or not, And just like Sister Ava say, the Nation of Islam is the 40 to 60 million black people in the hills of North America, whether they are registered or unregistered.
Yes, sir.
Beautiful. You know, Brother Michael, that's very powerful. It triggers memory of a personal experience of mine. If I can share, I don't have any personal experience with the Wiz. I don't. But I have a well-related experience that profoundly impacts my Islam. In fact, really, this mother plane, Dr. Ava, really frames my Islam in so many ways, because when I first encountered Islam, I was good on everything. There was two stumbling blocks to my accepting Islam. This is 91, 92, right? I'm a prophet sinner. I got the God, you know, I'm loving that. I'm these teachings, I'm loving it. But there was two stumbling blocks that kept me from being able to commit. One was Yaqub. Two was the mothership. And my first encounter of the mothership was from encountering the Honorable Miss Louis Farrakhan's more than vision-like experience on the wheel. So I heard the mop being made, and, you know, I was like, well, you know, I can't get with that. All of this other, I can get with. But Yaqub, I can't see that. I didn't have any evidence of it. And this mother plane thing. So those were my two holdouts. The first one to be resolved, in fact, almost immediately, was a mothership, because what fell into my hands almost immediately was Timothy Good's Above Top Secret. I consumed that book, and I came out of that book. That stumbling block was removed from me. Now, eventually, by last race, the Yaqub stumbling block was removed from me. So that allowed me to fully embrace my Islam. All right, that was 1991. Fast forward, 2015. Justice or Else. So, sometime after Justice or Else, I think it was 2016, I was blessed to have coffee with the Honorable Miss Louis Farrakhan in Phoenix. This was the first time I had a personal sit down with him since I saw him 10/10/15. And when I'm at his dinner table, I know he could tell I'm very uncomfortable. More than, you know, I've been blessed to sit at the foot of the Messiah 12, but I'm sure he could notice that there's something different. There's something like, maybe I'm nasty. I know I was uncomfortable. And so I had to say to the minister, no, dear apostle, just so you could understand what you may be seeing in me, my discomfort, or if it seems like I'm ill at ease in your presence, in words, I am, and I told him why. And I told him I had to recalibrate myself vis-a-vis him, because during 10/10/15, remember that Friday, that tremendous storm that opened 10/10/15, there was a tremendous storm that Friday.
Come on, come on, come on. I know what you're going.
And,
Woo. Well,
you know, it was a storm to me. We were blessed. Saturday was beautiful. But as I was leaving, one of the minister's family came to me with her cell phone. She had taken She had recorded a video on her cell phone, and she wanted me to see it. So I'm sitting here looking at this video. Dr. Abram, Brother Mike, Brother Terrence, Sister Pamela. I'm looking at this video. It's the video of the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan, his family, and his guests on the balcony of the suite. And in the video, it shows the minister is in the suite, family and guests are on the balcony, and it shows this big, terrifying black cloud come in. You see it moving, and it stops over the minister's suite. And it's terrifying. Look, it's a black cloud, the storm cloud that produced all of that, that tremendous storm on Friday. On this video that's shown to me, you see that cloud. It's before the raindrops. You see the black cloud come over the minister's suite. The guests on the balcony, you know, they're excited. You see the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan come out of his suite onto the balcony. He's cool, calm, and collected. He looks up at it, and then he walks back in, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, if I'm not remembering incorrectly, I don't think I am, he says, thank you. He just looks up. He says, thank you, Allah. And then he goes back in. Now, this messed me up. Not because, you know, it's proof of the will. I had already been convicted of that. The reason that video messed me up, because I said, I was struck by the tremendous power at the disposal of this man, Farrakhan. This dreadful, awful power. It is so clearly at this man's disposal. Now, I knew, of course, we know who he is, but when you see, he talks about the power that backs him, but when you see that power, it's jarring. It's jarring, and it messed me up. And so I had to recalibrate, right? How, because, you know, a man that has that awful power, awful as in full of awe, not awful as in terrible, awful as in full of awe, a man that has that awful level of power backing him, his challenge is he has to struggle to hold himself down. We who are with him, we have a different struggle. We have to struggle to come up in terms of our behavior,
right,
and handling of him. And that's a tremendous struggle. So if I was scared about, you know, before then, oh, was the minister reading my thoughts? Because, you know, we heard the stories of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and reading the thought to the people around him. So, Dr. Ava, you know, I was never in the presence of the minister, and I'm trying hard to make sure all my thoughts are pure.
Right.
After seeing that, it was tremendously, the urgency to make sure you handle this man, that I now see the level of power is behind this man, it was jarring to me. And so when I was first in his presence, I was struggling to recalibrate myself to what I know visually now. I'm sitting across from this man has the power of that terrifying machine, Bozo. And so your experience, Brother Michael, just jarred that memory. And so that's how the mothership, the mother plane frames really my Islam. And because after seeing that video, again, I had to, and it's still a struggle. We have to struggle to measure up in terms of our behavior and handling of such a man with such powerful men. We got to struggle to measure up in our behavior.
Amen.
Dr. Ava.
Beautiful.
Is it all right
yes,
if I jump in here for peace?
Yes,
no,
sir.
It when he just said that, and I'm glad Dr. Wesley laid that out, because when you see that picture, and when you see that clip when they're on the balcony, and you can see, and you see that cloud, like you said, 10-10, and knowing the piece that really struck me that Dr. Wesley said is when the minister recognized and said what he said and just walked back in.
You walk
as
by.
Though,
cool,
yeah,
calm,
like,
collected.
Yeah, no fear. No fear.
This tremendous power.
Right.
And
okay, here's the thing that got me, Dr. West, when you said it, that I had to bear witness to. At a captain's retreat right outside St. Louis at the Scientology spot, right outside of St. Louis, I just say St. Louis, we had a captain's retreat. And we all at the captain's retreat. And let's know this storm, the alarm goes off. And they rush, say, everybody get downstairs. The people, they get downstairs. We get downstairs. And it was like, man, let's go back up. You know, everybody come back upstairs. And then alarms go off again. So y'all need to go back downstairs. We say, we ain't going back downstairs. We look outside, and the trees are leaning. Like, the trees are leaning. So we go back downstairs. And because there was a hurricane, the next morning when we get out, one of the oldest trees, was over 100 years old, was just tore up. I mean, the tree is twice as tall. The base of it is twice as tall as I am. Was knocked over. Tree debris all over this place. Power went out. But then we got a word that the minister was at his dinner table in St. Louis at the hotel, and the alarms went off in the hotel. And his back was to the window. He was like, he kept teaching. Everybody was kind of like getting ready to try to evacuate. He kept teaching at his dinner table, saying, he's not coming through that window. Like, the forces of nature, a hurricane. I'm trying to tell you, it was flooding, hurricane, and that next day he came to where we were. We took up trees, moved trees out the way to get the pathway clear so he could come and teach. But the calmness, and I'm saying, I'm telling you about the destruction. Trees were down all over the place, just destroyed. But he's teaching.
That's beautiful.
And you got a window behind you in the midst of a hurricane, and you are not worried about what's going to come while you're teaching at your dinner table. So I'm saying when
you
say the confidence and what power.
That's great testimony, Brother Michael. Thank you for sharing that. It just, look, man, when you got the two most powerful human beings
come on.
Backing you, and the greatest military technology that ever existed on the planet backing you. Wow. So, the Honorable, once we acknowledge that fact, we have to acknowledge therein lies one of the reasons why this man is a stumbling block for us. Because we have to handle him very carefully.
Yes.
Because if we don't handle this man carefully, it can be very dangerous for us.
That's right.
And he always says he's careful. He tries to watch his own thinking for that reason.
He does. Boy. Thank the merciful God, Dr. Ava. Thank the merciful God. By his control and his thinking on our behalf, that's his mercy toward us. That's our last mercy toward us, because, you know, he tells us we offend him daily. If we don't even know it. And if Allah wasn't so merciful to us, and that his mercy in the midst of the people and the person of the Honorable Minister Farrakhan, my God, we would be incinerated.
We absolutely would. I just got a text from our managing editor of the Final Call newspaper, and I want to read the text, Dr. Wesley.
Okay. Yes,
she says, she says, she starts out with this. That's part I want you to hear. Phenomenal show. That's you. And then she relates this. Oh, forever and ever. She said in 1997, thousands witnessed what was called the Phoenix Lights. The governor at that time, and this is Arizona, the governor, Fife Symington, made mockery of all of the reports. He even hosted a press conference where he had someone dressed as an, quote, alien.
Oh,
years,
wow.
Yes. See, you said that at the top of this, the mockery.
Wow.
Years later, so this would be in 2007, okay, 10 years later, 2007, Symington admitted that he saw the lights. He said, in 1997, during my second term as governor of Arizona, I saw something that defied logic and challenged my reality.
Wow.
He went on to say, as a pilot and a former Air Force officer, I can definitely say this craft did not resemble any man-made object I'd ever seen, and it certainly was not high-altitude flares.
Wow.
So I just find it interesting, this white man.
There's so much going on there. That's so powerful.
Oh, my God. He exhibited all the traits you just listed for us tonight about their resistance, the impossibility near of them submitting. And that's what he came up. And this was
and
the mother.
He came out dressed like an alien. See,
an alien,
was,
making
that
mockery.
That's the signature of their disinformation campaign. They created the alien, the bug eye.
Right.
And so now he saw those craft and was shook by them. His method
of dealing with it,
of pulling the wool over the eyes of the public, is to mock it, and through this the alien entity, because the most rational people, even if you know that these craft are real, once the craft are subsumed within this alien, this bug-eyed alien narrative, it's hard
mm-hmm.
to rationally countenance it.
Right.
It just is. And so we instinctively dismiss it. So him coming out dressed as an alien, that's part of the government strategy. The government, in its switching from denial to disinformation, they created the alien narrative in effort to make so much mock of it that even when we know these craft are real, we are going to distance ourselves from their reality because their reality has been alien narrative, bug-eyed alien narrative. Thank you for reading that, Dr. Ava. That's and thank
well,
you,
Sister
Starla.
I think Sister Starla. Yeah, that's powerful. That's
Sister
powerful
Starla.
Witness. To this reality. Now, before I go to the next caller, I want to get this in. If you go to, and this is all small letters, there are no hyphens in the numbers, nothing. It's just all the letters and the numbers run together, small letters. COVID-19 criticalcare.com. COVID19criticalcare.com. And when you go to this website, these are the frontline positions. There's a tab at the top. It's the type of website you like because it's very user-friendly. But there's a tab there, how to get ivermectin. How to get ivermectin. And that's
extremely important.
That's right. COVID19criticalcare.com. Okay? So we're going to go back to our callers, try to get a couple more in. Let's go to Brother Kareem. He has a question. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Kareem.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Ava, respected panelists, and of course my big brother, Brother Wesley. Always dropping
right.
Jewels.
Salam, sir.
I know we're at the bottom of hours, so I'll try to be as brief as possible. Have any of you guys ever seen the movie The Fourth Kind? It's about 10 years old.
What's it called?
What's the name?
The Fourth Kind, about Dr. Abigail
the
Tyler.
The Fourth Kind.
Nome, Alaska.
No, wow, I'm a movie. Me and my husband, we missed that one. I'm writing that down.
Okay,
I know.
It's definitely one you need to watch. I don't want to spoil it for you, but suffice it to say, there were a lot of naysayers. They, you know, they knocked it down in the on Google. A lot of critics, you know, tore it apart. And but needless to say, there was some, you know, Hollywood will put truth in movies. So there was a particular scene in the movie. I don't want to give it all away, but where I don't want to say the doctor was possessed, but an entity was speaking through her, and they were talking about Sumerian and ancient Aramaic and things like that. And this entity that was speaking through her, the voice was deep, and, you know, she was levitating. And this was all, like, real, like they show real footage in Nome, Alaska. And you heard them say, the voice said, I am God, and she got taken up in this thick light. And that just kind of blew me away. I was hoping somebody would
see the movie. I'm going to watch that tonight.
The Fourth Kind. Yes, it's about 10 years old, man. And Brother Wesley, you know, we talk, man, so, you know, it's I can send it to you. But another question my wife wanted to know. She was talking to a sister, and the sister said something about there being more than one mothership. I don't know if you guys know anything about, you know, whether that there's any truth to that. Thank you.
There's only
not
one mothership. There's only one mothership. The devil has had his little planes. They're trying to circular, and they debuted one, I think, the 1988. Whenever the Olympics were in Los Angeles in the 80s, the devil had one of theirs. So, yeah, the devil has his things, his contraptions flying around, his effort to ape God, but there's only one mothership. You please ask as you're inclined to, something.
Yes, sir.
Thank
Praise
you.
Be to Yeah, because we've only been taught of one mother plane, and there are 1,500 what they call baby planes, the fighters that come out from her. And I want to correct myself from last week or the week before, because I, you know, the Pentagon's been coming out in some different reporters and writers on the so-called UFOs. They're not unidentified, but I mentioned the, you know, the shock and awe of the enemy at the capability of the baby plane.
Yes.
And on top of that, the superiority of them, pardon me, because there's no engine, there's no sound, there's no fumes coming out, you know, from behind.
Right.
They can dart, they can be motionless for a certain amount of time. But I mentioned the fastest fighter plane because I heard one of the interviewees say that on one of the programs, that it was the USA's air fighter jet called the Blackbird. But which goes at a speed of 2,100 miles an hour. But that they have retired that, And the fastest fighter jet they have now is the NASA USAF X-15, and that flies at Mach 6.72, about 4,500 miles per hour, five times the speed of sound. You're going up against an aircraft, when you speak of one of the baby planes, that's traveling in the area of 13,000 miles.
Right, right.
And so then, as one of them said, you look like the Flintstones, you know.
Right. And then the final call, this week's addition to the final call, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad's article, or I think it was Jabril's article, where he said the honorable Elijah Muhammad said that he had clocked mothership at 25,000 miles per hour.
Yes, the mother plane, 25,000. And, you know, that's interesting because the enemy bears witness to that speed in that when he says 25,000 miles per hour, it confirms what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says in his article about the mother plane coming in into the gravity of the earth.
Right.
I think year and a half, 6 months to a year, every six
yes,
months
ma'am.
To a year.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
Going back to being soundless and clean,
yes,
the fuel the original people use is oxygen and hydrogen.
Right.
And they call hydrogen the pristine element. It's the
right.
definition of cleanliness. But look at what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said. He said, when the mother plane comes into the gravity of Earth, it takes on oxygen and hydrogen in order to permit it to stay out of the Earth's gravity until it needs refueling again. And in order to escape the Earth's gravitational pull, you need to get out in space somewhere around at least 65 miles into outer space. And to do that, you have to move at a speed of 25,000 miles per hour.
Wow. Wow. Look at that.
Look
at
that.
Beautiful teacher.
Come on.
This
Come
is
on.
A beautiful
this teaching
teacher.
Is amazing.
That was a jewel you just dropped.
Is a gift.
That's a jewel you just dropped.
Praise be to Allah. Oh my goodness. I can't believe we're out of time. Right. Oh my God.
The devil ain't got nothing for God. He got his little trinkets
flying
around up there. But he ain't got no mother playing.
Oh my God. Oh, we thank Allah in the person of Master Frater Muhammad. And
yes,
Brother
do.
Dr. Wesley Muhammad, we are not going to allow this kind of time to go by. And I got to take some away because I sit right in that council meeting and I just bask in your wisdom and knowledge in there.
And I'm not good at
putting dates down, you know.
Oh, no, but you're doing such a mighty work. What you get, what you feed our people, you and your wonderful staff here, what you feed our people is immeasurable. So
thank you, sir.
I enjoy basking in it. Whenever
you
call, Dr. Ava, you know I answer
yes,
the
sir,
call of the national spokesperson of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
Thank you, beloved.
Without hesitation.
And I want to give you all another quick website from our brother Alan, bless him, pushhealth.com. That's real easy, pushhealth.com. That's how you get go right to the directory. May Allah bless us all. Thank you to the whole Elevated Places team. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Wa alaikum assalam.